السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, before commencing the actual bayan, we would like to share one important sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the brothers. As far as the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are concerned, then it is important for every single believer and Muslim to try and implement within his life the ways and practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to the believers that if you love Allah, if you really cling to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me, yani follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why one ashik of Allah, one great pious person mentioned, ke naqshe qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. That it is through the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person will link himself and get himself on the pathway, on the highway of Jannah. So respected elders and brothers, one great simple little sunnah which we can implement in our lives daily is that when the adhan is being called, then it is sunnah and masnoon for us to listen to the adhan attentively and then to repeat the words of the adhan thereafter. So when the muadhin says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, so we will repeat the same words. When he says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we will repeat the same words. Either when he says Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala al-falah, then we will say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and thereafter we will repeat as normal. And thereafter, once the azan has terminated, we will recite this dua taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: Ya Allahumma rabba hadhihi al-da'wati al-tamma wa salati al-qa'ima, آتِ مُحَمَّدًا الْوَسِيلَةَ وَالْفَضِيلَةَ وَبَعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomsoever from my ummah will recite this dua after the adhan, he will listen to the adhan attentively, and then he will recite this dua, then the words of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَجَبَتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي. My intercession becomes compulsory upon that person. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, one great fikr and concern every single believer should have is that, Ya Allah, the most important thing is, will I die with iman or not? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in one hadith which is very frightening. He said that a person, his entire life he will spend in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, when he comes to the last few moments of his life, nafs and shaitan, the devil and his ego gets the better of him. He slips and he falls. And because of that, unfortunately, this person's iman is then snatched away. Or he loses the iman. Or he makes one statement because of which his iman is abrogated. And then he passes away as a disbeliever. His entire life was on obedience. However, the last few moments, he rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, this person will go into the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. And on the contrary, a person is entire life of disobedience. There was an incident with the late Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and I heard this incident from him, that there was a girl in the madrasa whose grandmother was in hospital. She was very, very ill. She was now so to say, the last stages of her life. And so the granddaughter was, you know, continuously talking to the grandmother about Allah, about Kalima, you know, trying to keep the conversation centered around that aspect, so that if something has to happen, the grandmother will leave with Iman and Islam. The bed adjacent to her grandmother, there was a non-Muslim Christian lady, very elderly. So she got to know the grandmother, they became friends, and she began talking. So she got to know the granddaughter likewise. So she says, I hear you speaking to your grandmother about Islam and about God and about the Creator. I want you to explain to me. So she started explaining to this Christian woman with regards to Allah and Akhirat and Iman and so on. So she says, look, I want to become a Muslim. I would like to become a Muslim. So this girl then contacted Maulana and followed the processes, and she recited the Kalima, this girl's head, before this girl. And 4 hours later, 4 hours after reciting this Kalima, this woman passed away. Allahu Akbar. Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, now imagine this woman, 60, 70, whatever age may have been, 70 years, not on Iman, not believing in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not performing one salah in her life even, not even fasting once. But yet, we don't know which action this person did, because of which it became a means that Allah Ta'ala guided this woman, that in the last few hours of her life, she recited this kalima, and Rasulullah SAW has mentioned that Al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qablahu, that the person who recites and accepts Iman in Islam, then whatever happened before that, the person may have committed the most heinous crime, but his acceptance of Islam wipes out the sin of that particular crime. Yes, if the person has violated the rights of someone, then he will still have to fulfill the rights. However, the sin has been completely forgiven in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, if we really contemplate about this, this is a great protection from takabbur and pride. That sometimes we make shukr that Allah has brought us here for the Jummah Salah. But there are many brothers who unfortunately, Shaitan and the devil has gained the upper hand. They are not even attending the masjid. Perhaps they don't even have deen in their lives. We should never ever look down upon any person, no matter how far he is gone. We just don't know. Sometimes the person's circumstances are such. Sometimes the person is in such a difficult situation because of which he is finding it difficult. He doesn't have the himmat and the courage. Perhaps there's some medical complication because of which the person is not coming to the masjid. Never ever judge the next person. What we should be judging is our own self. Remember that when we are pointing the finger, our finger at the next person, then there's 4 fingers pointing back at ourselves. So this is a very important thing. Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah used to also say that some people are concerned about the fly that is sitting on the nose of the next person. They are concerned about the fly that is sitting on the nose of the next person, but they have forgotten that huge python that's wrapped around their own neck. In other words, we are worried, oh, see how that person is doing, see what this person is doing, see he's not doing right, that Maulana said this, and this person is doing that. Brother, what is my condition? That's the most important thing. Allah is not going to ask us on the day of Qiyamah that why did that person do that, and why did this person. But Allah will ask you, will ask myself, what did we do? That faculty that I gave you, that bounty of time, that health, that wealth that I gave you, where did you spend your wealth? Where do you use your time? Allah will question us. So coming back to this, that every single person that is a cure for pride, that he says, I don't know what my condition will be. I don't know. If Allah Ta'ala blesses me with Iman, and if I pass away with Kalima, then I can really celebrate and say, Alhamdulillah, I have passed away with Iman, I have passed away with Islam, I have been successful. But Allah protects, khuda na khasta, Allah Ta'ala protects us. But if Iman and Islam is snatched away in the last few moments of our life, we are complete failures. Therefore, never ever be proud and arrogant over our achievements. Whatever achievement it may be, deen, be in terms of deen, some activity, whether it's looking after the masjid, whether it's looking after some madrasa, whether it's some deen activity that we are engaged in, never ever allow any kind of takabbur and pride to enter the heart. Because really, respected elders and brothers, whatever we have achieved is only and solely through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mat you have in your life, whatever achievement you have in your life, whatever accomplishment you have in your life, فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this is one fikr every person has, that Ya Allah, make it such, Allahumma thabbitni ala al-Iman, wa amitni ala al-Iman, oh Allah, keep me alive with Iman, and let me die with Iman. But in this hadith, Rasulullah has said, that person who will hold on fast to this particular dua, after the adhan, he will recite the dua, wajabat lahu shafa'ati, my intercession becomes wajib and compulsory upon him. Allah reward the ulama ikiram, they have explained that in this hadith there is a subtle indication and a prescription for death with iman. That a person who constantly recites this dua, then we have got great hope that this person will die with iman. Why? Because Rasulullah is not allowed to intercede on behalf of a disbeliever. He is not allowed to intercede on behalf of a disbeliever. We know the incident of Abu Talib, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a pillar of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He supported and defended Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He even went through and endured hardships for the sake of Islam and for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That boycott that took place for 3 solid years. The family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was boycotted, they were ostracized. They came to the extent where they had to chew leather and they had to eat grass to survive. Amongst the people that had to sacrifice their lives and had to sacrifice their health was Abu Talib. But when he came to the last stages of his life, Nabi Kareem Sahasam, who loved him very dearly, Nabi Kareem Sahasam came to his uncle, his beloved uncle. He said, oh my uncle, you just recite the kalima, that's all. You recite the kalima, I will do the rest. On the day of Qiyamah, I will intercede on your behalf. What did he say? He said, لَخْتَرْتُ النَّارَ عَلَى الْعَارِ. He says, I prefer the fire of Jahannam, but I do not want to be called a coward, that my family and my friends will say that this person had abandoned the way of his forefathers. He was cowardly. He abandoned the way of his forefathers. I'm not prepared to abandon the way of my forefathers. Unfortunately, this person, Abu Talib, he left this world without Iman and without Islam. But it was an important lesson. And the lesson was, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That, O Nabi of Allah, hidayat is not in your hands. Guidance is not in your hands. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Hidayat is solely and only in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the lesson. And there are other verses where Nabi Kareem Sahasam, immediately after this incident, he began making dua that, Ya Allah, forgive my uncle. Forgive my uncle. Allah Ta'ala revealed the verses, مَا كَانَ لِلْنَبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. It is not appropriate, it is not munasib, it is not befitting for the Nabi and for the Mu'mineen to make dua and maghfirat for that person who had ascribed the partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and left the world in this condition. He has now died as an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Kareem Sahasam was reprimanded and cautioned and was not even allowed to make dua and maghfirat for now for this uncle of his. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, Nabi Kareem Sahasam is not allowed to make dua for a disbeliever or intercede on behalf of a disbeliever. Hence, by reciting this dua, there is an indication, inshallah, that Allah Ta'ala will bless us with death with Iman. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all a death, a Mubarak death with Iman. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, the discussion today, inshallah, will be centered around this Mubarak month of Dhulqa'dah, the month of Hajj. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected various things in this universe. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected and chosen certain things. Allah ta'ala does as He pleases, when He pleases, how He pleases. Allah ta'ala لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Allah ta'ala can do as He wishes to, how He wishes to, and no one can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is totally independent. Today you find that in an organization, a person is regarded as the chairman, or is regarded as the amir, or is regarded as the director. But those people who are beneath, or those who are shareholders, they have the full prerogative and authority to question, why did you take this decision? Why did you do this and why did you do that? The person is the president of the country, and then you find that he is accountable for his action. However, Allah Ta'ala is not accountable to anyone whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala does as He pleases. So Allah has chosen. Allah Ta'ala has chosen certain days. He's given Friday, for example, preference over other days. Allah Ta'ala has selected the Anbiya. Certain Anbiya, tilka rusul faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. Amongst the Anbiya, Allah has selected and given certain Anbiya greater virtue over others. And we know from the Anbiya, Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, the leader of the Anbiya, none other than Janabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tajdar Madina, that great person beneath, that resting beneath the green dome, the person who is a true ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His condition will be such, ke jab nazar aaye wo sabz gumbad, keh ke salli ala joom jaye, that when his nazar falls on the green dome, he goes into a state of ecstasy, and automatically durood and salawat comes upon his son. May Allah ta'ala bless us with that ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate are we, respected elders and brothers, without any application, registration, Allah ta'ala selected us and chose us to be amongst the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a ni'mah. May Allah ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to appreciate this great bounty. So Allah ta'ala similarly has selected the months, and Allah ta'ala has given certain months fadila and virtue over other months. Amongst the months is this month of Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, Rajab. These are known as Ashhur-e-Hurram, the sacred months. Even prior to Islam and prior to the Nubuwwah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mushrikeen were prohibited from any kind of war fights in this particular month, especially the month of Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah. These were known as the months of Hajj. So respected elders and brothers, ulama-i-kiram have explained that any good deed that we are engaging in this month of Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah, Allah Ta'ala gives a certain extra reward in this particular month. Hence we should take the opportunity and we should take advantage of these months of Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah, and of course the entire spectacle of Hajj that takes place, and many of our Hujjaj will be leaving. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all Hajj maqbool, mabroor. Allah make the Hajj easy. But what a important lesson, the entire scene of Hajj. How many lessons, respected Allah? It requires an entire series of bayans to take place. There are so many lessons. For example, the entire incident of the Qurbani that takes place, which we will all inshallah be enacting on the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha. It is not just about purchasing the animal and then cutting the animal and then it's all over. It's making sure we skin the animal and getting packed nicely. But Islam is all about the spirit of Islam. May Allah protect us. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا اسْمُهُ وَلَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. A time will come upon my ummah that nothing will be left of Islam except the name of Islam, and nothing will be left of the Quran except the script of the Quran Sharif. In other words, that true spirit of Islam will disappear. That's true, that true spirit of the Quran and that amal of the Quran will completely disappear. And we can see, respected elders and brothers, as we are moving closer and closer towards Qiyamah, more and more this is happening. We are currently in an era, respected elders and brothers, where there is an explosion of knowledge. You go on the internet, every single website, there's Islamic website here, download a bayan here, download a bayan here. This was never before. So many bayans on every single topic, you can find a bayan. But can we really say that our ummah as we stand now has got more amal than the ummah that was in the past? What is our condition, respected elders and brothers? They say, us waqt ke masjid to kachche the, lekin musalli pakke the. And like, aajkal masajid pakke hai, lekin musalli kachche. In those zamanas, in those times, the masajid were very, very simple. Simple masajid. But the musallis were solid. The musallis were strong. Today we have got solid, beautiful masajid. Wonderful masajid. But unfortunately, the musallis are, we as musallis, and I address myself first, we have become so weak when it comes to our salah. Those of us who are performing the salah, what is the condition of our salah? How much of devotion and concentration is there in our salah? One place the Imam Sahib read Zohar Namaz. On the lighter note, the Imam Sahib read Zohar Namaz. So instead of 4 rakats, he read 3 rakats. So he made salah. So nobody realized. Imam Sahib didn't even know. The musallis too didn't know. Okay, one mota standing in the back, he stood up. He said, oh, Maulvi Sahib, definitely you read 3 rakats today. So they all say, mashallah, at least there's one person who's got concentration and devotion in the masjid. He said, no. Baatein hi hai. The thing is this, that I got 4 shops. So normally every day, Zohar time, I make kitab of all my 4 shops. Today I only reached the 3rd shop and you already made salam finish. So I knew it must be only 3 rakats. So Allah protect us, but this is our condition, this is my condition, that when we make takbir at tahreema, then every thought comes. One person came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He said, Imam sahab, I had some treasure, very expensive, priceless treasure. So I had dug a hole in my property and I hid it there. But the beauty part is, I hid it in such a place that I even forgot where I hid it myself. So I didn't know where I hid it. Now it was, I need that, this thing, I don't know how to find it. So Imam sahab told him, okay, what you do, you go back to your house and you make intention that, Ya Allah, I'm going to read 1,000 rakats of Nafil Salah. 1,000 rakats of Nafil Salah. After a short while, this person came running back. He said, Imam sahab, I just started my namaz and immediately I remember. So Imam sahab said, I knew. Shaitan had made you forget. But now when Shaitan heard you're going to read 1,000 rakats quickly in the namaz, he said, no, you actually forgot it here. You remember now. So he broke into masjid. So this is what Shaitan does, respected elders and brothers. And the moment we make takbir at tahreema, suddenly, you must have completely forgot that. Suddenly you remember things which you had completely forgotten. This is Shaitan, but what we must do is that immediately when these evil thoughts come in the mind, put your mind back onto Salah. Bring it back onto Salah. Like how a person is traveling on the road. And sometimes whilst he is driving, especially if he is, for example, traveling from Durban to Johannesburg, or Johannesburg to Durban, Van Riemen's Pass, now the person, he has to be alert. There's fog on the road, there's trucks on one side. And somebody, one of the passengers says, look, wonderful scenery on your side. So the driver may cast one cursory glance, but quickly he brings his eye back onto the road. So he looked that side, but his mind is not even there. His mind comes quickly back there. In the same way, Shaitan will bring this thought in the mind. Immediately when the thought comes in, the mind will go there, but quickly you bring your mind back into Salah. Put your mind back on what you are doing. I'm reciting Surah Fatiha, just follow the verses. I'm going into Ruku, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. And just keep your mind in Salah. This is khushu. This is concentration and devotion. Some people have this misunderstanding that concentration and devotion means I must be soaring right under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. I must see Jannat on one side, Jahannam on one side. This is not what is the understanding of concentration. Just keeping the mind in Salah is referred to as devotion and concentration. So respected elders and brothers, coming back to what we were saying, that this month of Dhul Qa'dah, it is all about sacrifice and the incident, and we will all be making qurbani, and we mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, that the spirit of Islam has to come back in. The spirit of the Quran Sharif has to come back in. That when a person is making qurbani, it's not only about slaughtering the animal. Coming to the Jum'ah Salah is not only about attending the Salah and listening to the bayan, reading namaz and going home. But it's about connecting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, developing some level of ruhaniyat and spirituality. When a person is slaughtering the animal, so then he is metaphorically taking the knife of taqwa. Because Allah ta'ala says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. So he is taking that metaphorical knife of taqwa, that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is grabbing his evil desires, all his egos and evil desires and certain bad habits that he has in his life. And now he is actually slaughtering it and is sacrificing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Ya Allah, I will allow the blood of my evil desires to flow. That pain, that regret, that remorse will be there. That a person wants to engage in that particular sin, but he says, Ya Allah, I will sacrifice this sin for your pleasure, so that I can fulfill your command. And of course, the most important lesson, respected elders and brothers, which Allah Ta'ala loved so dearly in the life of Nabi Ibrahim ala Nabiina alayhi salatu wasalam, is that total submission to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tu baraye bandagi hai ya darak one. Wali of Allah Ta'ala says, you have been created for the bandagi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has created you to be his slave, to be his servant. Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, he went to the marketplace and he purchased a slave. So they told him that this slave is very pious. Those days slavery was in vogue. When a person purchased the slave, then the slave belonged to the master. So he purchased the slave, and when he purchased the slave came home. So he says, oh slave, what is your name? He says, oh my master, whatever name you give me, that will be my name. He says, okay, what clothes would you like to wear? So he says, oh my master, whatever clothes you give me to wear, I will wear those clothes. So he says, what food will you like to eat? He says, oh my master, whatever food you give me, I'm prepared to eat that food. So he says, don't you have any desire of your own? He says, oh master, what does a slave have to do with desire? Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullahi immediately began to tear, and he freed this person. He says, "You taught me such an important lesson. I just gave you some food, and I'm just prepared to give you clothing and shelter. My Allah has given me everything. My Allah has given me my sight, my ears. He has created me from non-existence into existence. My Allah has done everything for me. You are prepared to sacrifice all your desires to fulfill to my beck and my command. But my Allah has done everything for me, and I am not prepared to have that level of submission to the commands of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So this is it, respected elders and brothers. The important lesson in this month of Dhul Hijjah and in Qurbani is total submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, wake up Fajr Salah. Now we don't say, but no, you know, it don't make sense to me. Fajr Namaz now, you know, it's dangerous too now. Now the person uses his logic. This person has not developed that level of servitude and abdiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created man and jinn except that they make my abdiyah. They become my slaves, they become my servants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this quality of abdiyah. In conclusion, respected elders and brothers, we know that tonight, inshallah, there will be the lunar eclipse that will be taking place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us advice with regards to this occurrence that takes place. And we should understand that everything that happens in this world, in this universe, not even a leaf drops from a tree, except that it drops with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has created this world with absolute precision. Absolute precision, the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the topic in itself. If you look, for example, the industry, the motor industry, so you will find they'll produce a vehicle. Now, the year that follows thereafter, you will find they'll have some improvements to the previous model. And then the year thereafter, they'll have improvements. There's always room for improvement. But have we ever heard that the babies that are born in 2018 will have some modifications on their bodies as opposed to the behaviors of the babies that were born in the previous year? We find that Allah is when Allah creates, it's absolutely perfect. The planning of Allah is absolutely perfect. You find you have the perpetual sunrise and sunset of a particular locality, and that perpetual, the sun will rise exactly at that particular point time for years and years and years. This is the precision. Allah has conducted this world with absolute precision. And every single person's life, Allah has tabled out a particular map. Allah has written out exactly the amount of sustenance each individual will receive, when a person will pass away, at which point, at which time, how he will pass away. Everything has been recorded. Everything has been recorded. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, Nabi Kareem Sahasim has advised us that nothing happens in this world through some accident or by mistake. So the eclipse of the sun or the moon, this is by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala is showing His great qudra and His great power. That Allah can do this kind of a thing, completely cover one with the other. Allah ta'ala is absolutely powerful. So it is a display of the might and the grandeur and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is sunnah that when the lunar eclipse takes place, that we should engage in our homes in some sort of nafil salah, either 2 rakats or 4 rakats. The eclipse will commence at approximately 25 past 8 at night in the evening, and it will continue right till 20 past 12 at night, past midnight. So we should try and lengthen the salah. Of course, it's not possible to read such a long salah, but we should try and read the salah as long as we possibly can. Each person knows what his strengths and his weaknesses. It is also a sunnah to lengthen the ruku and to lengthen the sajda. And the most important aspect is that we should make abundant dua. Connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is showing His qudra. Allah is showing His might. Allah is showing His power. We should show our humbleness and our humility that, Ya Allah, You are all powerful. I am absolutely nothing. You have the power to take this huge sun and moon and control them. So Ya Allah, how powerful and how mighty You are. And how small, what a small little minute creature I am in front of Your qudra and Your power. So a person humbles himself, make abundant dua, make dua for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected elders and brothers. The ummah is in dire need of du'as. The condition of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you look at families, you look at organizations, there's so much of disunity, so much of discord. Unfortunately, hearts have become diseased. Hearts are abounded with pride, with malice, with jealousy. No longer, there's no sincerity left any longer. Each person is trying to do some work of deen for name and fame. He wants his name to rise high. He wants his family name to rise high. No longer people are doing things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala protect us and grant us sincerity that whatever action we do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who is doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the need then for him to get recognition and to be acknowledged by people? Allah has seen it. There's no need for any acknowledgement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these wonderful qualities and most importantly alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially in places like Burma, in Syria, where alhamdulillah we are performing salah in a beautiful masjid. We have homes to go. Some of them are living in refugee camps. We should especially tonight take out our time and shed a few tears. We have mercy upon our brothers and our sisters in places like Syria and Burma. May Allah ta'ala alleviate the suffering. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.